We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Audacy Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Deegan Smith, the crossover, the attack, and the lay. What a breakdown from Skylar Deegan Smith. It's a two-possession game. Vandersloot to inbound. Gets it to Dolson, will take. That's it! The 2021 WNBA Finals are even at a game apiece. Phoenix persists in overtime. 91-86 the final in game two.
Highlight courtesy of ESPN. Game three of the WNBA Finals is tonight over in the South Loop. We were like, well, let's invite someone to talk about it. Maggie Hendricks has been out here traveling the globe, covering stuff. She works for Valley Sports now. I'll tell you that she is one of my favorite people. No cap. She's also my birthday buddy. We share a birthday. We have not had our birthday brunch, though. So I wonder, do we wait to January to do it? I mean, these are probably questions I should ask Maggie. She joins me on the Circa Resort and Casino hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Lawrence.
How are you?
I am good. I'm having a good day, man.
Oh, that's nice. Have you finished your project that you're working on, your crocheting project?
Oh, no, that's going to take forever. No, I took my dad to a doctor's appointment, and it was good news at the doctor's appointment. And then I went to Culver's and had a Kurter Burger.
Wait, stop.
Yep.
You know,
yeah,
this was thing on the Score earlier today. Rick Camp gave his review of the Kurter Burger. So what's yours?
I listened to Rick. I just happened to go to Culver's, and then I found out. And then I was like, oh, of course I'll have a Kurter Burger. It was very good. The textures are really good. It really does remind me in a way of a Juicy Lucy. I was in Minnesota about a month ago and had a Juicy Lucy like at the home of the Juicy Lucy. And it's a lot of similarities to textures. It's good. Get your butts to Culver's, people.
What are your sides? What's a Maggie Hendricks side order with that Kurter Burger?
I like crinkle cut fries. So I like just going with it. Usually if I'm with Pete, we will also get a thing of curds because Culver's is like Wisconsin. So, you know,
did you go dessert too?
Not this time. Cause honestly, the Kurter Burger, it's a lot. So I didn't do dessert this time, but I really usually get like some custard or something, but also I have to not be completely weighed down by food because there's a game tonight. So.
Correct. I got one more food question. Well, I have one more Culver's question. I have plenty of food questions. Which is better, finding the loose fry in your bag of onion rings or finding the loose onion ring in your bag of fries?
I think onion ring in your bag of fries, because I rarely want an entire bag of onion rings. But, man, when you get it, and then it also ends up flavoring your fries a little bit, so you get a little bit of onion kick to your fries. Oh. Great.
I think that's probably the way I would have gone on that too. And that's why we're birthday buddies and the Wonder
exactly.
Twins. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we roll. All right. So we have an even series now. This is a series of stars. You've got Diana Taurasi and you've got Brittany Griner and Skylar Diggins. And you've got over on the Sky side, Candace Parker and Courtney Vandersloot and Allie Quigley. This has already been a fun kind of series. What are you expecting to see tonight? Like, and what do you take away from the first two games?
Well, I mean, the first game, other than the first quarter where they were jittery, the Sky played pretty much a perfect game. And sometimes that can be dangerous early on because that's the way you get complacent, you know? And that's definitely what happened in game two late in the game. They had the lead most of the game, but they got a little complacent. They got a little complacent in their rebounding, really. They weren't boxing out. They weren't where they needed to be. And so Phoenix is too good of a team. You can't mess around like that. Phoenix, they are hurt and they are down a player, but they're still Phoenix. They still got Diana Taurasi, like they said, you said, all of those stars. So I think what we'll see tonight is this guy kind of chastened and come out pretty strong tonight. And it's going to be a crazy environment. It's sold out. You have to go to a reseller if you want a ticket. So it's crazy.
What have the folks at the Sky said about the support that they've seen? I would say after they won the second play-in game that you started to see some of the support for this team going from other teams, whether it's the Bears or it's them wearing all of the same jerseys, it's people at the White Sox. What have they said about that support?
I mean, they're absolutely thrilled and heartened by it. There are three people on the roster who grew up in Chicago. You've got Candace Parker, obviously, Ellie Quigley from Joliet, and then Dane Evans is from Gary. So there's already a pretty strong connection to the, you know, to our city, but they are just absolutely like, it just means the world to them that Chicago has really shown out. And now the jerseys are on the Lions at the Art Institute and all of those kinds of things are happening, which should happen when a team is in the finals. And so it means the world to them. I asked Candace Parker the other night about it being sold out. And she said, you know, I had to go look for myself. And then when I saw it and I saw I couldn't get a ticket, it was really like it really blew her away.
So the atmosphere there tonight is probably going to be nutso.
I mean, it was nutso last Wednesday, and that was to clinch to get into the finals. Chance the Rapper was there. Reverend Jesse Jackson was there.
Scottie Pippen was there, right? Wasn't he there too?
Scottie Pippen was there. DJ Casper, who is the creator of the Cha-Cha Slide, was not only there, but led the Cha-Cha Slide as halftime entertainment.
Did you do the Cha-Cha Slide?
I was talking to people. Actually, I was talking to Shake. I was talking to Shakia. So I didn't do the Cha-Cha Slide, but I probably would have if I was over in the media section driving everybody nuts.
You 100%. If you were in the know on it, you 100% would have been doing the Cha-Cha Slide.
Yeah, if I wasn't having the conversation, if I wasn't sitting and talking with Jay, I would have. But you know, we were talking. But I mean, the whole it was. Here was my very favorite moment, the most Chicago moment from last week. So Chance the Rapper's there, and they play the "You Don't Want No Trouble with Me" that song, and the whole place is singing it. And then Chance is so happy because everybody's singing it along with him, and. Then they go right into Percolator. They go right into your brother's song.
I love it.
The most Chicago thing in the world. Like, I felt like my Chicago flag in my heart was just like bursting. It was amazing.
That is very exciting and something that definitely keeps the crowd going. That's for sure. The top of the hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo. We are talking with Maggie Hendricks of Bally Sports. Before we get back to the Sky, what was the opportunity that was put in front of you with Bally Sports?
I was hired in March by a whole bunch of wonderful people that I've worked with at USA Today and Yahoo, that they're creating Bally Sports, which is it's the former Fox Regional Sports Networks. So like, you know, where you'd watch the Cardinals and Minnesota teams and all of that. I'm sorry. I just, you know, I am who I am.
Yes, you are.
And so it's basically I work for the national site that kind of overarches all of the different regional sports networks. So we're building something, but it's a lot of fun.
What do you think the nation, cause look, she was an all-star this year, but what do you think the nation found out about Kalia Copper over the last couple of weeks?
Oh my gosh. I'm sure at some point that they use the full Kalia effing Copper that I won't say, cause I don't want Mitch to get mad at me, but, I mean, I think that they learned that she's likely the most athletic and fast person in the WNBA, and that she has a body control that makes it so that she, when she's flying, she can still make these shots and make these blocks and just really be everywhere her teammates need her to be. And, you know, Kalia, she is North Philly, not Philly. She always clarifies. She is from North Philly. She does not play around. So, like, you try to cross her, go ahead. But it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, she's a fun player. And I look at their roster and you look at all of the people that they have on it, where you're talking about, obviously, Candace Parker. And clearly, it's Candace Parker at the end of her career, like it's Diana Taurasi at the end of her career. You add in Diamond DeShields and Allie Quigley and my favorite player, Courtney Vandersloot. These are all decorated players. Then you get Big Steph, who is coming off a gold medal. The thing to me that's so interesting about the Sky is this is a team that shouldn't have been 500. This is a team that should have been one of the best teams in the league. And it feels like they clicked on that push to get into the playoffs. They clicked on, and it's been full speed go since then.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, it was definitely one of those, like they say in swimming, if you have a lane, you have a chance. And it's that same kind of thing. Like, if you make it into the WNBA playoffs, since the first two rounds are first and second rounds, you have a chance. You have a very strong chance. And so once they got into the semifinals and Connecticut didn't look like Connecticut, you know, it was like everything came together. And it was the very first game of the season, the Sky played the Washington Mystics, and nothing looked quite like it. They just looked fantastic. All of the fast breaks and seeing how Kalia and Candace clicked and all of this, it was so exciting. And then Candace got hurt, and then Allie Quigley got hurt, and then Steph had to leave to go do Olympic stuff. And there were all these little things that happened. But now, by the end of the season, everybody's together. Everybody, knock on wood, is healthy. It was a clean injury report yesterday. So when you have all of those things and you have all of those weapons and you have a team that also trusts their coach, which they do, some really special things can happen.
Well, we're hopeful that those special things will continue to happen, that the atmosphere is fun, and people will say, hey, you know what, maybe I should check out Sky games more often, even when they're not playing a championship. So I hope that you have a great time tonight. I hope that the atmosphere is amazing over there. I'm sure it will be. And I'm glad to – oh, wait, I can't let you go yet. You know why? Because someone on Twitch said that I need to ask you some sort of Star Trek question. So, I'll ask you this question because I know that it's something that you care about. Why can't we get a consistent schedule on BBC America? Why is it that I have to guess if I'm going to get a Star Trek episode that starts at 9:30 or at 9 o'clock, or if it's some movie that I don't want to see, or if A Few Good Men is on yet again?
And like right now, there's some like scary movie sort of thing, which. Come on now, BBC, just give me my Star Trek. You can do your scary movies later, but give me some Benjamin Sisko. Give me some, I need some Picard happening, some Riker. I need it to start my day. Can you just give me something good? Because I am very loyal to BBC America.
Me too.
And they are not loyal to us, Lawrence.
These channels ain't loyal, Maggie. These channels ain't loyal. One more thing. So I have an idea for Picard. And you know me, I love to tie some of the old TNG stuff to the stuff that's going on now. I ran across the episode Disaster, where everything falls apart. Picard is in the turbo lift with the kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he's freaking out because they're kids and he doesn't know how to talk to kids.
Right. He doesn't know how to act. I feel like that they should do something with the young lady who was acting as his number one. Like, there should be some sort of story where she has become like a fleet admiral by this point, because this was 30 years ago or whatever. And there should be some sort of tie-in, because they had fun with that. Like, that was a lot of fun. It was such a great scene at the end of it where he's like, you've got the bridge, number one. And she's like, aye, sir. And then looks over at Riker. That's a great scene.
It is a great scene. And the little girl played it perfectly with, like, looking sheepish, but not really. Like, more like, Riker, you should be sheepish. It's so great.
You're damn right.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
I love to see
that. Have you watched Lower Decks?
I haven't watched this season of Lower Decks, so I need to catch up on that because it's really, really funny. And
it's so good.
It takes you to so many different places inside of the Star Trek universe.
Somebody
that it's just awesome.
Yeah, someone I know described it as a love letter to the Star Trek fandom, and I feel like that's so accurate. Like, it's a really good show, and there's great character development and funny people, and Don Lewis being the captain's voice is so good at it. Which, Jaleesa? Hell yeah, Jaleesa. But this season, like, it just, like, all of the little callbacks, little Easter eggs for dorks like you, excuse me, geeks like you and me, fantastic.
Maggie, you are the best. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Always happy to come on.
That is Maggie Hendricks of Valley Sports. Still the best voice. Best voice in Chicago. No one's voice sounds more Chicago than Maggie Hendricks. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I need to work through some stuff. So this isn't one of those, I'm worried that I won't be eloquent in the next segment, but I need to work through some things, and it has to do with this investigation into the Washington football team and where it's leading from a journalistic standpoint, and if I have time, which I probably won't, where it's taking us when it comes to the idea of race relations too. It's next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Moments ago, the Las Vegas Raiders and John Gruden officially parted ways. Earlier this evening, the New York Times uncovered a trail of emails dating back 7 years in which John Gruden had a clean sweep of offending NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, women, gays, minorities, all sorts of people. A short time ago, the Raiders owner Mark Davis arrived at the team's training facility, found Gruden, the two men met, and John Gruden no longer is the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, Steve.
So this stuff all went down on Monday Night Football with the confluence of ESPN and their partnership with the NFL. And it's funny how they kind of tossed it onto the Raiders, even though the majority of the stuff that was said by Gruden was said while he was an employee of ESPN. This segment that I'm going to try to work through here is not an attack on ESPN per se. I just think that what this investigation into, and remember, this is about the Washington football team and Daniel Snyder and an investigation into them. And I wonder if we're ever going to get to the part where that information is leaked. I didn't start out in the electronic side of this business as a journalist. I eventually kind of became one. I now have a master's degree in journalism, and I teach, and I'm using air quotes, I teach journalism at DePaul. So I try to take a lot of examples from what's actually going on, because I feel like the practical applications of what's happening in media and journalism are in some cases more helpful than learning theory. I often refer to myself as scholar practitioner because it's a little bit more representative of what I am instead of saying adjunct professor. Scholar practitioner is kind of where I go. And the thing is that the industry continues to morph and change. Not that it shouldn't. And I don't know if I even want to put any judgments on where the industry has gone. It's just that when I look at what happened, if you're not familiar, another thing that happened inside of this investigation that was leaked out was that Adam Schefter sent a copy, an unpublished copy of his book to Bruce Allen and joked about him being Mr. Editor, basically allowing him to go in and change whatever it is that he wanted. I'm not here to even talk about his journalistic practices. I do think that it's interesting, though. There's a couple of different methods on how to go about becoming an insider. And we could categorize this as insider journalism, if you want. And I know that I might be getting into the weeds a little bit. Insider journalism and access journalism. I think this is where the two of those things meet. Ideally, an access journalist, like if you look at politically, the people who get the sit-downs with Joe Biden or are following a campaign and they get the sit-downs with President Trump, and you usually see things coming out from their point of view. With insider stuff, inside of sports, clearly, if for those of us who want to get the information to the public, there has to be some sort of relationship that's going to allow you access to information that the public doesn't need. It is incumbent upon each entity, whether it's the Score or the Tribune or ESPN or whomever, to figure out what their guidelines are for interaction between reporter, and I'm not host, I'll get to that in a second, reporter and the people that they report on. Everyone has to figure out how much access is too much access. How many relationships or depth of relationships doesn't allow you to be as objective as you want? And that's a fine line too. Because you want to be able to give people their opportunity to give their point of view so that you can have a mosaic and then you can distill it and give it to the public. People always wonder, and I don't want to bust toss everyone because this is Schefter's thing. How does Adam Schefter go and break all of these stories? Well, he breaks them because he has a really strong background in journalism when he first started. And now that the position that he's in is like the newsbreaker of ESPN. It allows him a wide berth. He has these relationships with people that tell him things that are important. The part where I'm struggling, and it comes with the territory on what I do for a living. And like I said, I feel like I used to be a journalist. I'm not sure if I qualify as a journalist anymore. I still use some journalistic practices in what it is that I do, and I have my own code on what I will and what I won't do. But for the most part, the reason that there's a make me a bicycle clown is that you all want the bicycles to be made. And I keep wondering if sports fans even care about how journalism is done. The anecdotal evidence that I have is no, you don't care. And that's fine. That is your option. That's you just want the information, and I completely understand that. You want people to talk about the things that you care about, and hopefully those people that are talking about it care about those things too. And that's what I try to project, even though like I can get fired up like as a fan,
fired up
about the White Sox. That fandom still lives with me, and it makes it so that I have to check that. One of the journalistic practices that I have is you are a fan of that team. So you need to make sure that you're going as hard as you can when it comes to discussing them. And figuring out kind of where everyone stands on this is really difficult. I don't think that there are going to be a lot of people who tell you that there's an industry standard. I'm not sure that there's evidence to that. When it comes to breaking stories, you have to have people who trust you. And sometimes, like the adage of, you know, no one trusts you unless you got a little bit of dirt on you, like that sort of thing. And that's how some of these stories end up coming out. But the part about you and whether or not you care about it is fascinating to me for this reason. What it allows for. Because I think that leagues and teams have caught on to it. It allows for them to kind of do what they want. and they get to dress it up. Like, if you look at team sites, which I think are valuable, I look at team sites for some of this to see what type of things are being put on there. The point of the team site is not journalism. It's not to necessarily tell you the truth. Like, the Cubs are going to, on their site, are going to try and put the best face on what actually happened, their best spin on it. Ideally, the job of the journalist is to try to make it the least amount of spin possible, or to present, here's the team spin, here's what the evidence says, here's what fans are saying, and you try to give that and you give it to the people and hope that they get something out of it. But the mission creep of teams creating their own quasi-journalistic arms, and then you have the addition of social media and social media platforms. I watch every team in Chicago. I follow them on social media. And I think that the social media people who run the sites do a really good job. But again, it's always going to have their take on it, which is fine, which is what they're supposed to do. They're selling a product. They shouldn't have to care about journalism. But should the people that are involved in sports care about it? And to what level should they care about it? I don't have answers to these questions. Like I said, I'm talking some of this stuff through because I'm trying to figure out. I was having dinner with a friend of mine last night who's one of the best journalists that I know. And we were talking about all of this stuff, and we couldn't come up to any good conclusions. So when I went back and, you know, kind of wrote down some of the things that I wanted to discuss in this last night and this morning, I think that in a lot of different areas of our world right now, we are seeing that guardrails that we thought were there aren't there. And that there are people who don't believe in systems. Like, the systems that are supposed to be in place to protect whatever, they don't seem to be in place. And so what do you do with that? My experience with the White Sox this year, where this is what I'm talking about where it comes to access. So I had a problem with the White Sox hiring Tony La Russa. You know this, right? I've talked about it on the air. Because this is a really popular show, they heard it. And there are a lot of people who didn't like it. I have access to a lot of those people, and those people have access to me. And I talked it through with numerous people over there about how I felt and how I expressed myself about it. If there isn't that, if there isn't people that are able to try and find whatever you consider to be the truth in a subject matter, then the only thing that gets to be told is the point of view of the team. We could extrapolate this out and talk about the point of view of the mayor, the point of view of the president. And I felt like this year, when it came to the White Sox in particular, that we have drifted very close to the line of pom-poms. And you know, I care about these guys. I care. I want them to win. But I'm not sure that there's been a lot of great journalism done. Here's an example. Do you know how long Tony La Russa's contract is with the White Sox? No, you don't. Because it hasn't been reported on. But then the question becomes, do fans care? And the conclusion that I came to, or at least the semi-conclusion that I've come to on this, is they don't care until ... And this is not even me sticking up for journalism, capital J. I just think that it's interesting, and we've seen it in the past. It's not just the 2021 White Sox. We saw it with steroids in baseball. where people didn't care until they cared. Where were the journalists on this? Some of them were protecting the people that were doing whatever it is you think they did, because they were also protecting their sources. And will you stop getting information from those people if they don't like the way that you present the information? That's where I go back to Adam Schefter. Schefter is not supposed to be, they have not set him up on ESPN to be a guy that gives you opinions, which is totally fine. I actually think it's the way that it should be. They set him up as the insider who has all of the information. He comes out, he tells you this is what's happening. And then here's Booger McFarland or here's Dominique Foxworth, and they can talk about the information that Schefter has presented. I'm not sure. I know what my code is. I'm not sure that journalistically he did anything wrong. I don't think that I would have done it. Actually, I know that I wouldn't have done it. But from where we are and what the public seems to want, I'm not sure that he did anything wrong. And the way that ESPN has not reacted to it, I find that really interesting and telling. It all gets murky because inside of sports, there's also the connection that sports television, sports radio has with teams and leagues. You are well within your right, and you should hold us accountable. Let's speak about the score. You should hold us accountable when it comes to us talking about the Cubs, because we have the rights to the Cubs. You should hold us accountable for how we talk about the Bulls, because we have the rights to the Bulls. And my advice would be, if you think that one of the hosts or reporters is biased, then you should track what that person says. And if there's enough evidence to you that this person is untrustworthy with their opinion, that they are reckless with their opinion, as long as you've really done the work, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with you questioning. But I feel like we're moving into a place where league or team aren't questioned. And I think that that's a very dangerous space for us to live in. Some people will say, well, you're crying about journalism. To me, it was a big deal that the Bears held press conferences where they got to choose who asked questions. And that's not to besmirch, because I understood what the Bears did. The hierarchy of it was the people who cover the team every day got first dibs on questions. Cool. But they limited who could ask questions by limiting the amount of time that people were going to be available. You should question White Sox coverage on NBC Sports Chicago. And again, it's not because they're necessarily doing anything that's nefarious, but because they have a relationship with the White Sox, can you trust everything that's being told to you? Is it even journalism? I struggle with this. Like, I really do. Like, I have in my notes, like, one of the things I want to talk about is some of these things with my students the next time that I teach. There was an interview that Kevin Durant did with Draymond Green. And they basically rewrote the history on how Kevin Durant left the Warriors. And athletes, because they have, like, LeBron is turning into an actual, like, media mogul. And I think that it's probably 80% good that LeBron is doing that. And then I have some trepidation because it becomes about the victors telling the story. And is there an actual check and or balance to go, that's not quite right? It's mostly right, but it's not quite right, and here's why. I worry about this stuff all the time, and I worry that you don't care. And sometimes when I get pushback, if I have an opinion that doesn't conform to what the team would like to project for whatever team that I'm talking about, there are people that will immediately grab the flag of their team, the White Sox, the Bulls, the Cubs, the Blackhawks. That happens a lot with them. And then they only want to get the positive news about that team until they don't. There's two shows that I did where we were celebrating the White Sox for winning the American League Central. They were highly rated. They're highly rated. There was high engagement, level of activity that we can see in real time. The show I did after the White Sox lost, crazy engagement. And my job is to try and figure out what it is that you want. And also try to figure out where I'm willing to bend. And everyone is different. And that's why I go back to the Schefter thing going, I'm not sure that journalistically he did anything wrong. Because he has made a choice. And he's one of the most followed people in the NFL. So does, in this case, the might make it right? Does the power of the people that follow him mean that they don't care how the sausage is made? They just want the sausage. And then what does that mean for us? Are we supposed to put the pom-poms up? Are we supposed to just give you what the team says without any pushback if we think that it's wrong? They're answers to questions that I don't have, but I appreciate you indulging me in asking them. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
I feel so bad. I thought I had 90 minutes like I had in class. But I don't. I appreciate that everyone enjoyed, at least thought about the stuff that was said in the last segment. It's stuff that I think about all the time. Sometimes I have a weird look on my face because I'll be thinking about that stuff. A couple things before you get ready for Bears-Packers. Mike Furry is now on the COVID list for your Chicago Bears, so he will not be coaching the wide receivers this week. Jermaine Ifedi is still on the IL. But here's a couple of things that you should get excited about if you're looking for Bears-Packers. Bears are first in the NFL, 18 sacks. Now, I'm a person that believes pressure up front leads to turnovers, and maybe that is going to be the case. The blitz rate for the Bears this year has been 17.8%, which ranks them 28th in the NFL. And usually the game plan, it doesn't always work, but it's probably the best game plan that you can have is if you can get pressure with four on Aaron Rodgers, you're better off than trying to get pressure with five or six. And you have to be timely when you do the blitzing because of how good he is at carving you up. The great thing for the Bears is after a season where it looked like Robert Quinn was the worst free agent signing of the Ryan Pace era, he is snapped back. He has done a great job. He and Khalil Mack have been working in tandem. And as Grody pointed out, Sean Desai has done some really creative things. He likes to put them on the same side. If the Bears are going to win, they're going to win because those two guys and Travis Gibson, who's played great, are being a menace to Aaron Rodgers. They could also still lose by rushing four and dropping seven because he's maybe the best quarterback that's ever lived. I'll talk with Parkins and Spiegel next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.